I have a Twitter account. I've never posted anything.
So you just surf.
No, I've like they told me a year ago, they're like, you need to create a Twitter account. And I did. I have no followers. I follow nobody. No pictures. No nothing. But it is great. I do have a Twitter.
You go on Twitter often?
No, I've been on there twice.
All right, so let's have a little experiment with your Twitter account because you don't care if it gets just like red flagged or shot to the moon.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
So NBC, with their Olympic coverage, and NBC Sports, the NBC Corporation, they pay billions to carry the Olympics.
Okay.
TV ratings are down, but if you want to watch the Olympics, you've got all different channels to watch. I wish there would be an Olympics Red Zone channel. Like, it's on normal TV, not on my phone or YouTube TV, you know, Michael was explaining earlier. But the one thing about the Olympics, every 4 years, winter or spring, well, every 2 years, with one, you know, every 2 years you get winter or spring, is you get these sports that are a little bit obscure, that we don't see a lot of, especially in this country. We have them, but we don't pay as much attention to them, like handball, skeet shooting, water polo, those kind of sports, which I would think on this stage, which is their greatest stage, they would like as much publicity as possible. NBC is smart in their programming. They know what sells. Swimming, track and field, basketball, you know, the main sports in the summertime that people are going to tune into. But these lesser sports that don't get as much attention, why would you not let somebody record, put out clips of these sports? But if you do, NBC Sports will come at you. They literally will take your Twitter account and shoot it to the moon. So let's see if this is real. Like how quickly they respond. If I shipped over to you a clip from something that happened in the Olympics today, would you tweet it out?
I will. Yeah, I will get that on as
like
quickly
with,
as I can.
Love the Olympic coverage on NBC. Red, white, and blue. Go Tokyo. To see how quickly that they would find you, and your Twitter account would be shut down.
Like suspended or shut down?
So there's stories from Rio. Now that was kind of like the first Olympics where the mass had Twitter. Mm-hmm. Is people were tweeting out clips. And they weren't taken away from the coverage. Some of them even from like parents or friends of Olympians that had won. They would tweet out like their celebration.
Right.
And somebody, either it's Twitter or it's somebody at NBC, kind of like Major League Baseball does if you put highlight clips out, they will find you. They DM, what I understand is they DM you first to tell you to take it down, and they give you a certain amount of time. And if you don't take it down in that certain amount of time, then they, in conjunction with Twitter, shut your account down. They lock your account either for the rest of the Olympics or for time, and you are in Twitter jail.
Is this specifically stuff that's not branded NBC? Or if it's branded NBC?
I think it's anything that's Olympics. Any Olympic clip that you record and then chop up and you put out on Twitter and they find it, they will request you take it down immediately or they shut you down. Or Twitter contacts you and says your account is in Twitter jail until the Olympians leave Tokyo.
Interesting. Yeah, send it over. We'll do that.
I hope it's not more than that. I hope you don't have authorities that are knocking on your door later. Let's say we'd like a word with you. We have gone too far without acknowledging that Alex Rodriguez turned 46 today. My favorite guy, Alex Rodriguez, say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, missed him on Sunday Night Baseball. I'm sure the ratings were really, really good. But he took off this past Sunday when the Brewers and the White Sox were playing because he was out on his yacht where he will be celebrating tonight his 46th birthday. It may just be Alex Rodriguez and women. There were pictures this past weekend. Just happened that he was in the general vicinity of Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. But Alex Rodriguez was on his yacht and celebrating, and today he is celebrating his 46th birthday. and he will have a party. And he also will be here. Teammates have secured Alex Rodriguez for their big event out in La Vista coming up in November. Alex Rodriguez is the celebrity that will be here. I know, seems like a weird fit. We don't know what A-Rod will be like by then, but he'll be here for the teammates. All right, we have, through the gremlins that are in the phone system, we have hooked up with Robin Washit from Husker Online. How's your realignment Tuesday going?
Well, between that and the part two of the Nebraska basketball media day that I just got done with, which I didn't answer any of your calls. Sorry for that. But it's been busy. Busy as always. And somebody was saying, how was your summer? I said, what summer? The way that this whole thing has gone.
You know what? So yesterday I was commenting to someone. They said, how's your summer going? Are you looking forward to football? And I'm like, well, you know, I really haven't had much of a summer. Now is the time to get away. And they're like, doesn't Nebraska play end of August? And I said, yeah, they play in like 4 weeks. And this time of the year, I think also why it's going so quick, we've had so much to discuss, whether it be the College World Series up here, we went right to the U.S. Senior Open, and then we have everything that's going on with Texas and Oklahoma. Let's hit on that real quick before we talk about Nebraska basketball. If you're Nebraska and you're in the Big Ten and you're glad you're in the Big Ten and you love those checks, you know that you got to do some things differently and maybe you got to have some more conversations about what happened last year. What should Nebraska's stance be on this realignment from Texas, Oklahoma into the SEC, and maybe what will the Big Ten do?
I think they should, I use this term loosely, but trust the Big Ten to do what is necessary to keep the conference at the forefront right there with the SEC. So whatever that entails as far as potential expansion, and so be it. But at the same time, you know, in the end, this is everybody looking out for themselves. I mean, the conference allegiances aren't going to get you anywhere. You need to make sure that you are available to do what is best for your individual athletic department and football program at any turn. And so, you know, while you're going to keep your faith in the conference to, you know, like I said, make the necessary moves to make everyone in the league better, you also have to be prepared that, you know, there's if things continue to be as crazy as they have within, especially like the last week, you know, you got to be prepared for anything. And that, I don't know what that entails, but you got to make sure that all lines of communication are open at all times and make sure that you're not caught off guard by anything. But I think Nebraska, especially with what their leadership has said, basically since Trev Alberts was hired, they're all in on the Big Ten publicly. They're giving their full commitment to the league. And I guess unless something really dramatic happens, you know, Nebraska's going to stick with that. But at the same time, like I said, you got to make sure you have your backup emergency plans in case things really get crazy.
Do you have to make sure that Ohio State is happy every day?
See, Nebraska was in a situation like that, and they left that conference when everything was catered to Texas. And, you know, there's a reason they left that situation. And as bad as Nebraska's been on the field, they are still, I think it's last year in terms of overall football worth, I think ranked 10th now.
We lost Robin. So I'm putting him back on hold, Mike. Just check with him, see if he's there. If not, we'll have to call him back. We'll call Robin back. We'll get hooked up with him. Mike is hoping that George comes back about 1:30. Tom Chattel also, we'll have to adjust a little bit with Tom's schedule, but we'll work to get Robin back, because the next question is going to be is, if one conference goes to 16, the SEC is the number one conference in college athletics, so they're going to go to 16. The Big Ten is sitting at 14. Big Ten's in a good spot. Still do pretty well financially. I mean, really well financially. You have the Ohio State that sits in your conference. You have the unknown of your commissioner and what he will do when the TV deal comes up and what he will do in year number two. But is the mindset, keep up with the SEC or stay ahead of the ACC? And that's what we'll... Now we got Robin back. Robin, our apologies there. We'll just blame it on ourselves.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Like, I looked at my phone and it said no service. Like, I'm literally like in downtown Lincoln right now. And it. Anyway, I don't know where I got dropped there, but yeah. So we were talking about keeping Ohio State happy. I don't know how much of that my answer you got off that.
But unlike Texas, Ohio State doesn't seem to be like pushing their weight around. Now they know what their stature is in this conference. But I think they're pretty happy. I mean, I don't know why Ohio State wouldn't be happy other than maybe some things that went on last fall that they can quickly take care of by their football program being successful.
Yeah, and I agree. They're in a different situation than Texas, where, like, Texas was literally asking for the world and then some. Ohio State, they've already got a good spot, and unlike the Big 12, you know, they don't have to, you know, make their case for a seat at the table. You know, with the Big Ten and then the prestige the conference has, winning that league is automatically going to put you at the forefront of the college football playoffs. So, you know, they don't have that to worry about. Financially, they're very well taken care of. But, again, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, I wouldn't think Oklahoma had any reason to leave. I mean, they basically had a free pass to the playoff every single year playing in that conference. And here we are. Now they're going to jump ship. And so that's kind of what I mean by with Nebraska having to just kind of make sure you got your eyes on everything here. If Ohio State were to pull an Oklahoma, Texas, and do something of that magnitude, the ripple effect on the rest of the conference, as we all know, would be monumental. And Nebraska would be in a very difficult spot in terms of, you know, where they go going forward. So you want to make it a situation where a school or a program like Ohio State, you know, doesn't have any interest in leaving, but you also don't want to get in a situation where you're bending over backwards for one member of a 14 team or whatever league, because that's when, you know, real problems, as we've seen in the past, tend to happen.
Why do you think Oklahoma is risking making this move? I mean, their path to the playoff is pretty good right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're looking at, obviously, there's significant short-term financial gain, but, you know, there seems to be a lot of talk that, you know, the idea of multiple conferences and Power Five, like, there might be a dateline on that, or a deadline on that, to where, you know, we're potentially looking at maybe one giant super league that gets formed. And so maybe they think that they're getting a jump on that process by aligning themselves with the biggest powers in college football and, you know, kind of getting their seat at the table right out of the gate. So that's where, you know, you talk about Ohio State, maybe even Michigan to an extent, you know, just because of their national brand power, like, will they look at what the Oklahomas and Texases are doing and think of the same way where, you know, we're very happy with our situation in the Big Ten, but looking ahead 4, 5, 10 years down the road, you know, what will college athletics be? What will conferences be? You know, what you kind of got to be a little proactive at this point, which is as tumultuous of a time in college sports as we've ever seen. And so, you know, everybody's going to be looking out for themselves. And if schools think that, you know, you can get a jump on this and make sure that you're in a position to, you know, be at the forefront of some monumental shifts in the college landscape, then that might be it. But again, I don't know. Right now, that's all just rumor and speculation at this point. And hopefully things kind of slow down a little bit from where they are, because we're talking about completely wiping clean the idea of college sports and major conferences, then there's going to be a whole lot of casualties that come with that.
Do you think that college football, when this 16-team conference is put together, and we don't know what the fallout will be to create another 16-team conference, that college football has the possibility of becoming the third most popular sport in this country behind the NFL and the NBA?
I know a lot of fans are already questioning their fandom of college athletics with how different the game has become and will continue to become from what they grew up on and why they became fans of it. And there's a post on our Husker Online message board right now. It said, I can't be the only one that's losing interest in college football right now. And I think that's a very real thing for a specific generation or generations of fans that, you know, college sports were a completely different thing than what they are becoming. And, you know, for a younger generation, I'm sure that that's not going to change much because they don't know any better. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to maybe step back a little bit because they can't latch on to this almost semi-pro model that college athletics are becoming the way they did when it was, I guess, quote unquote, you know, amateur. So I do think that there's going to be a faction of the fan base where that's a real deal, where their interest level does decrease. And because it's not the same game that they grew up with. Now, what does that do? I mean, if football is football. Football is king in America, and, you know, Nebraska fans are going to continue to root for Nebraska, but you just got to wonder just on the national scale what this does to the sport because of just how different the game and really college sports are becoming every single month.
Speaking of drawing interest, I think I have, you know, fallen in love with a game that we've all played since we were little kids, playing 3-on-3. It's picked up around this area, and then it gets into the Olympics, and we see the setting and how exciting it is. I'm hooked on 3-on-3 basketball. I think I'm also hooked on, after watching the first 4 days of the Olympics in 3-on-3, Nebraska has found their three-point shooter.
Yeah, Casey Tominaga's, when it comes to shooting, he is the real deal. He's got some other question marks about, physically and defensively, how he's going to stack up in the Big Ten, but that shooting is going to translate. I know Nebraska fans have heard that before with these, you know, three-point specialists that come here and then they, for whatever reason, can't hit a shot. I mean, Tominaga makes threes everywhere he goes, whether it's in Japan on the national team, whether it's down in junior college at Ranger down Texas, or in the 3-on-3 Olympics. I mean, that the guy can shoot as well as really anyone I've seen in terms of not needing any space to create his own shot and then being able to create his own shot. And so, you know, 3-on-3, obviously it's a completely different game from traditional basketball, but I agree with you, it's extremely exciting, and you are getting a glimpse of what Tominaga can bring to the table when he does get on campus. And I know people are asking when he would get here, and obviously as long as Japan's still alive, they're going to keep playing, but I would imagine they're probably looking at right before the start of the fall semester for him to get here. So bad news, he's going to miss a lot of the workout, team bonding stuff that's going on right now. We talked with a bunch of players today, and, you know, to a man, everyone's talking about how just the chemistry has really developed this summer because of things they're doing, like boxing classes, spinning classes, top golf, bowling, you know, those types of things. So Tominaga is missing out on all that, but having – met him down at the junior college tournament down in Kansas. He's got the personality that will gravitate towards anyone, and he's going to fit right in. So I'm not too worried about that. And the experience he's gaining right now on the Olympic stage is invaluable, both for him as a basketball player and as a person.
As always, I appreciate it. Sorry about the gremlins. We'll have plenty of stuff to talk about football next week because media day on Thursday, practice is here. 4 weeks from Saturday is the start of the season. What the?
Summer is officially over.
I know. That's kind of sad. That's kind of sad. But, you know, we all got to go back to work, and we got to figure out what incremental growth looks like.
Yeah, I think that's, by definition, different for everyone.
Yes, it is. Robin, as always, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep, you may.
It's Robin Washit from Husker Online. We'll ask Thompson to tell that, what he thinks that Trev Alberts means by incremental growth. That's a phrase that he used out in Indianapolis. I love the energy and urgency. I wasn't here on Friday after Trev spoke. The energy and urgency. Not surprised that Trev is that way, but, man, talk about delivering a on-point message. There's no gray area. But incremental growth, what does that mean? Tom Chattel is coming up next on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.